Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Tuesday, September 13th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on the memorial of St. John Chrysostom, Bishop and Doctor of the Church. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer this morning is Gabby Burke, filling in for Sarah, who's a little under the weather this morning. It's good to be with you on this Tuesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Yesterday, Pope Francis made a brief stop at the Roman Basilica of St. Mary Major, Santa Maria Maggiore, as they say in Italian, to entrust his 38th apostolic journey abroad to the Blessed Virgin Mary ahead of his departure for Kazakhstan today. I want to bring in our Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverins. Glenn, what is the latest with the Holy Father's three-day trip to Kazakhstan?
Johnny calls the trip a pilgrimage of dialogue and peace, and he'll meet many religious representatives and engage in dialogue, he says, as brothers, inspired by a mutual desire for peace, the peace that our world thirsts for. Kazakhstan, located between China and Russia. Russia, of course, at war with the country of Ukraine. As a matter of fact, to avoid anything related to that, the Pope's plane flying around Russian airspace to get to Kazakhstan. Originally, it was to be a meeting spot for the Pope and Patriarch Kirill of Moscow, the head of the Russian Orthodox Church. The Patriarch had been backing Russia very strongly in the war. He backed out of the meeting, and the Pope will meet with the head of the Department of External Relations for the Moscow Patriarchate.
Glenn, as always, the Holy Father always makes a pit stop at St. Mary Major to pray in front of the beautiful icon of our Blessed Mother, known as the Salus Populi Romani. He always does that before he goes on any trip, and there's a beautiful photo of him at CNA, Catholic News Agency, of the Holy Father praying in front of the Blessed Mother, invoking her maternal protection for this trip to Kazakhstan.
Yeah, his Marian devotion always very inspiring, and it shows where his priorities are before he goes out to do something big.
For sure. Meanwhile, the other big story this morning, thousands and thousands of people honoring Queen Elizabeth II at Edinburgh Cathedral as people stood in line reportedly all night long just to pay their respects.
Yeah, overnight, her four children, including the king, held a silent vigil watching over the queen's casket as crowds passed by. And her coffin will be taken from Scotland. It'll be flown to London. And meanwhile, King Charles continues his tour of the UK today, visiting Northern Ireland, his first visit there, of course, as king. The coffin will be taken by hearse to Buckingham Palace ahead of a royal procession on Wednesday. And just to note, the funeral coming up this coming Monday.
We can expect massive crowds, worldwide attention, world leaders from all over the planet coming to this historic funeral of Her Majesty. It's a very emotional time for Great Britain and the Commonwealth.
Yeah, for them to really look at the monarchy and to acknowledge 70 years of leadership by Queen Elizabeth.
Absolutely. And coming up a little bit later at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Bishop Brendan Cahill of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas, about what many Catholic leaders are saying as they remember Queen Elizabeth II's Christian faith. She was a very devout Christian, reportedly prayed the Bible, read the Bible, was a woman of prayer, went to a church every Sunday, you know, was a really sincere Christian.
Yeah, from all accounts, the Pope acknowledging that, and other evangelical leaders acknowledging that as well.
And as we talked about yesterday, she met with five Holy Fathers, including Pope Francis over the years, and John Paul II three different times. So we will continue to keep an eye on that ongoing story all week long, Glenn.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a good example of dignity for us to learn from the way the British handle that.
No question. As always, thanks so much.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We begin every hour always in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And every morning we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Our God is always with us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, says that He will be with us until the end of the world, that is, forever. When we trust God's promises that He made to us in sacred scripture, we trust He's always in control, even in tough situations as well as the easy ones. We have to have the faith that no matter the situation, whether it's illness or difficulty, God is always with us through the Holy Spirit. Let us pray for the faith of knowing that the God of love, our Lord Jesus Christ, walks with us every single day. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And you can always send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now it's time for another Tech Tuesday. Now, one thing's for sure these days, social media space is constantly evolving, constantly changing. With more and more networks available than ever before, companies need to spend their time and budget wisely. Check out part of this report on the new Be Real app as seen on ABC6 Philadelphia.
Today, young people are filtering, face-tuning, and feeling immense pressure to portray picture-perfect lives. Now, one app is attempting to change all that. It's called Be Real, the social media app encouraging users to just be real. The app notifying Be Real users at random times each day to share snapshots of what they're doing during a 2-minute window, giving users unedited and unfiltered glimpses into their friends' daily lives. The new platform's urge for authenticity resonating among teens.
Joining us live is our tech expert, longtime Morning Air contributor, Mark Mastriani, with much more on social media demographics and the new social media network, Be Real. Mark is a passionate Catholic dad, a husband with 20-plus years of technology, new product development experience. For all things faith and tech, you can always follow Mark on Twitter at GodLovesTech. Good morning, Mark. Thanks so much for joining us once again for another Tech Tuesday. It's always great to be with you.
Good morning. Happy Tech Tuesday to you, John.
Thanks, Mark. You know, this topic of social media and where we are today, I find it very fascinating. What is going on? What is the largest social media platform among consumers and marketers these days?
Yeah, let's take a quick step back. You know, social media is really a new phenomena relative to the grand scheme of God's history. It's just a blink of God's eye just in the last 20, 25 years. With the dawn of the internet, what's so interesting, John, I don't know if you remember back in 92, 93, 94, the internet was different channels. It's the most similar platform to what the internet was like back then was actually Reddit. You had all these different alt threads. It's almost like a combination of Reddit and Slack. There was different channels for different interests, and people posted messages pretty much anonymously. It was very difficult to make direct connection to someone who was making a comment about a particular topic. But it was affinity related. It was interest related. It was faith related. And fast forward now to 2022, we have dozens of platforms. It would fill a whole day or multiple days of Morning Air to cover every platform. But there are new platforms picking up every few years. And the most interesting phenomena about these new platforms is how they differ from the originals. So what's also interesting is that the originals may have shrunk slightly in their size and popularity, but they are not gone. They still have significant traction, eyeballs, attention still to this day.
When you think of the originals, which are the ones that come to mind? I still remember the old MySpace.
Me too. And yeah. Friendster. I don't know if you remember this one.
I don't remember that one.
So yes, there's still the big pillars, and the big pillars have grown through acquisition and new features, right? So Facebook isn't just about Facebook anymore, right? Facebook is also about Instagram. So let's kind of take a nice tour. I'm using a source from Sprout Social. Sprout Social, I want to make sure I'm honoring the source of the material. They help tech companies understand the social landscape writ large, broader with detailed demographic data. So we can post this on Twitter and make our listeners aware of all this interesting demographic data. But what's so interesting about sharing it with this Tech Tuesday audience is each of these platforms has millions of visitors each day still, and they are targeting and retaining certain demographics. So let's talk about some of the big ones, and then we'll get to Be Real, I promise. Let's talk about Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter still have significant numbers and traction. So if you start with the biggest, right, number of monthly active users, Facebook demographic and usage, 2.91 billion monthly active users.
So that's with a B. That's with billion a B. With a B. That is a lot of folks. My goodness.
The claims of Facebook's death have been greatly exaggerated, right?
I mean, goodness, that is a huge. I mean, just think of it in terms of the total population of planet Earth.
Yeah. And how much time are those 2.91 billion monthly active users staying on Facebook? On average, time spent per day, 33 minutes. Why does that matter? This social media site that we're getting this demographic information from is helping advertisers make sure they're pointing to the right platform based on their target markets. So let's keep going. So ads can't target people by their geography the way that they used to. We'll get into that in a different Tech Tuesday, how the internet landscape has shifted because of rules and regulations in various countries and regions. But Facebook isn't gone. It's not going away anytime soon. So we should be aware that they're targeting primarily the largest age group, 25 to 34 year old adults, 43% female, 57% male. Let's jump to Instagram, which is also interesting because it's part of the Meta umbrella. Meta is the corporation name with Facebook, Instagram, and many other smaller entities as well. Instagram is very notable because of its recent pop in popularity. It's more than doubled in the last 3 years. Number of monthly active users, 2 billion. 2.9 billion on Facebook, 2 billion monthly active users on Instagram. Similar demographics, 25 to 34-year-old adults, However, very close behind, 31% of all active users are 18 to 24 years old. Almost perfect split between male and female, 48% female, 51.8% male. Total time spent on Instagram per day, 29 minutes. So Instagram also has a way of holding people's attention daily for almost a half hour. What's most notable about Instagram is, again, its most recent pop in popularity, holding on to those younger demographics more securely than its big brother, its older brother, Facebook, if you think of it that way. Okay, TikTok, right? TikTok is a global phenomena. Chinese-based organization ByteDance owns TikTok, okay? One of the things that people need to be aware of is we don't know precisely what data is being collected and retained by TikTok. I just want to give prudence.
Super important point. Super important. But there's been a lot of talk about that, that the Chinese are collecting all of our intel, all of our information. So that can be quite concerning.
Yeah. So true. When an app asks for your location, a warning flag for me goes off. And when an app asks for access to your contacts, another warning flag goes off. Myself, my family, we are not users of TikTok, but here's the demographics, right? Huge increase, especially since the pandemic, of TikTok. People who wanted to get real authentic interaction with other people and couldn't, got synthetic interaction with other people through short video clips on TikTok. Okay, 1 billion monthly active users on TikTok. Here's the jaw-dropping number, John. The largest age demographic for TikTok users, 10 to 19 years of age. 10 to 19. 25% of all active users on TikTok, the largest demographic on the platform, 10 years old to 19 years old.
And these numbers that you're giving, these are worldwide numbers.
That's right.
Right.
This is as a platform.
Right. So we're talking about 250 million young people between the ages of 10 and 19 on TikTok.
Here's the other jaw-dropping number. Not only the age demographic of retention of eyeballs to TikTok, but the number of minutes per day. If you're on TikTok, your average time, 89 minutes.
Wow.
They have a way of pushing their scroll, right? So Facebook and Twitter helped to invent this concept of the infinite scroll. You never hit the bottom. They're always feeding you something new and interesting. Well, with TikTok, because they're videos, you see the next video before you even finish the last one you're on. Your eyes get, it triggers your eyes to look at the very next thing. It's kind of the squirrel phenomena. You're always looking at the very next moving object on the screen. And again, human nature from 2020, when we couldn't interact with new and interesting people, put videos on TikTok, and that's where people went. So one last thing is 40% of Gen Z say that they're directly influenced by products they see on TikTok, and brands should take notice, says this website. Okay? So what is an influencer? Let's just take a moment on that, and we'll come back to Be Real, okay? Because this is relevant. TikTok is relevant to Be Real. Absolutely it is. Influencers are people who are paid by these platforms to produce good content. They may have been noticed by the platform already because of the content and attention that their content has been producing. So they get paid by the platform to produce more content, and they can also be paid by advertisers whose products they are promoting within their content. What is Be Real? Be Real.
Before you get to Be Real, just a quick word. Is Twitter on its way out the door? Is it still in play, or is it dying?
it is still alive, right? 211 million active users daily. So we're switching from monthly active users to daily active users. 211 million people use Twitter daily. And it's mostly 18 to 29-year-old adults, primarily male, 61.6% male, for 31 minutes a day. I don't think it's going anywhere. It's used differently than Facebook and Twitter. Twitter and Facebook are used differently, mostly for information, almost as a pseudo-news source. So I don't think it's going away. It did get a significant dip in use lately, but I don't believe it's going anywhere. So Be Real is interesting because it takes this video, viral video phenomena from TikTok, and it opens these tiny two-minute windows of attention. You subscribe to this platform, and some two-minute window during your day, you're going to broadcast to the entire Be Real platform, okay? So that's very interesting. It's a different take on video, but it's a live stream. It's you live streaming yourself, whatever you're doing, for a very specific two-minute window. You can make some kind of performance. You can show off a talent. You can show off your crafts and your products. It's newer. It's much smaller, but it is getting attention by news media around the world. Just wanted to make sure that our Relevant Radio audience was aware of what it is.
Be Real claims to have no influencers, no ads, no edits. Those are a few of the differences?
Yes, but they're going to have to figure out who they are soon, right? So in April 2022, Be Real received $30 million funding round from Andreessen Horowitz, one of the biggest venture capital funds in Silicon Valley. They're going to monetize. They're going to turn their platform into a product eventually, right? These new up-and-coming platforms want attention. Then they figure out how they attract and maintain revenue. So we don't know what their revenue model will eventually be. This was kind of like Facebook 2007. We don't know what their revenue model will be yet, but it's very likely that influencers on Be Real, that you will see celebrities getting their two-minute window of live broadcast, and that Be Real would pay them for that, and the products that the celebrities use during their two-minute window will pay them for the opportunity for those eyeballs.
Fascinating stuff. Final word on Be Real? Anything that parents should be aware of?
Well, it's all just prudence, right? It's all prudence. We love re-emphasizing and reinforcing the virtues here on Tech Tuesday. None of all tools can be used for a higher good. We should be engaged in the world. We're not of the world, but we need to be in the world. If St. Paul was here right now, he'd be challenging us good Catholics and people of faith, men and women of faith, to use what media platforms are available to evangelize. What could you do with your 2 minutes on Be Real to authentically talk about your relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? So it's an opportunity for us to dive in, to be in the arena, not and engage.
Mark, as always, fascinating information. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining us.
God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Many blessings to you. Mark Mastriani, our tech expert for all things faith and tech. You can always follow Mark on Twitter at God Loves Tech. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Bishop Brendan Cahill of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas, will be with us to discuss how Catholic leaders are remembering Queen Elizabeth II's Christian faith and how we as Catholics have Mary as our Queen, the Queen of Heaven and Earth. Stay with us as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air.
Good morning, life. good morning, sun. How are you, skies above? Gee, it's great to be alive and in love.
And welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Is the glorious tune God Save the Queen, as Catholic leaders worldwide are mourning the death of Queen Elizabeth II, calling for prayers while remembering the late Queen's Christian example. In fact, Pope Francis, in a telegraph late Thursday, offered his condolences and prayers upon the death of Queen Elizabeth, Britain's longest reigning monarch and the head of the Church of England. The Holy Father wrote in a September 8th telegram to Britain's new monarch, King Charles III, quote, "Deeply saddened to learn of the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, I offer heartfelt condolences to Your Majesty, the members of the royal family, the people of the United Kingdom, and the Commonwealth." Joining us live is Bishop Brendan Cahill to talk about how Catholic leaders are remembering Queen Elizabeth II's Christian faith and how Catholics have Mary as our Queen, the Queen of Heaven and Earth. Bishop Cahill is the third bishop of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas. He serves as a member of the USCCB Subcommittee on African American Affairs and as a consultor for the USCCB's Pro-Life Committee as well. Your Excellency, Bishop Cahill, thanks so much for being with us this morning. It's always a joy to be with you.
Good morning, John. Glad to be here with you again, and for all listeners, know our prayers and love across all those who listen each week. I've had experiences lately. I was on a pilgrimage in Rome and ran into some listeners from Chicago. And so I know, just want to let the listeners know, I guess we're united in our prayer for one another. And we'll talk a little today about prayer, and specifically prayer for thank you so much for the opportunity to share and to talk.
Well, Excellency, your impressions of the heartfelt prayers and just the reaction from Catholic leaders all over the world, beginning in the British Commonwealth in Great Britain, to this country, to the Holy Father. So many Catholic leaders are obviously praying for the repose of the soul of Queen Elizabeth, and as well as praying for the British people.
Sure. And so there's a couple of things I was thinking for this morning is, you know, first of all, we pray for eternal life and for the forgiveness of sins and for ultimately the resurrection for every soul, and our understanding of just the nature of creation. God has created every human being and has given us the breath of life and creates us for eternal life. And so in one sense, we all face our passing and we face death, and there's a fear of the unknown. Yet we also, when we look at this scripture and reflect on Jesus resurrected, the disciples' witness of him resurrected from the dead, the transmission from generation to generation of this hope and eternal life, we have a confidence that for the Christian who has accepted Jesus Christ, that he gives the gift of eternal life. And then for us who are Christian, who are blessed with that gift, we even see broader that God desires all people to be saved, and we're instruments of his salvation for other people. So you understand, I mean, our Catholic spirituality, even going back to our different devotionals, you know, when we talk about Fatima prayer, we pray for the whole world, especially those in most need of God's mercy. We pray for the sinner, that the sinner can be converted and have eternal life. And so in one sense, I think even a monarch, the glorious reflections and how important this person was and all the influence that she had in the world and all the historical things we think about, it's kind of the same eternal life that the person who nobody knows about, who, you know, just for whatever, dies an unknown death, that we pray for them to have the same eternal life and same glory that God desires for all of us. So in one sense, I think I always want to focus, our focus is eternal life. We're created through baptism. We're initiated to eternal life, and we pray for eternal life and the kingdom of God for everyone. And then I think then we reflect upon the individual life. Then we can look at her extraordinary times. I mean, when you talk about the 70 years from 1953 or 1952, and the image I like to reflect on for myself was there was a visit when Pope Benedict went to visit with her probably 15 years ago. And it always struck me as incredible to think what those two people went through in their lives with the 50s and 60s, 70s through now, and to see our faith living through those ages. That you know, sometimes people think, oh, we live in the worst of times and all of this. But Jesus Christ is alive and active. And for us as Christians and as Catholics, for us to be confident in our prayer that Jesus is accomplishing his plan in the world. And so, again, getting back to as I began, we have a spiritual communion and pray for each other with confidence. So I guess a couple of thoughts, you know, you can reflect on her life and all the outpouring of Catholic leaders and how important she is and all of that. But that also applies for the simplest one of us who may go unknown, and that God in his goodness has his plan of eternal life and glory for all of us.
Absolutely. Whether you're the Queen of Great Britain or you're just the most lowliest of Christian servants, we're all equal in the eyes of the Lord.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And that to me is like some of the most beautiful reflections, because you see of our ministries, right? We have in our diocese, I'm sure across the country, you know, you have your ministries in prison, serving prisoners. We have people on death row accompanying people who you would think are kind of forgotten. You say, oh my goodness. And you have our seafarers who often grow up in poverty and are struggling to survive and away from home and have tough working conditions. With migrants, you know, who seem to be unknown, you know, that just what they go through and everything. The simplest individual is as beautiful in God's sight as the greatest, most powerful person in our eyes. And so that's one thing I like to think about with this is it. We talk about the worth of an individual. Every breath that God gives us has that same value and worth.
Well, I think precisely because Queen Elizabeth had a heart for the regular folks, she understood the importance of service. She saw herself as a servant of the people from the very moment that she was elevated queen back in 1952. It was always about service. And so that's why there's such an outpouring from the common folks down to Catholic leaders. Excellency, as an example, Cardinal Vincent Nichols, the Archbishop of Westminster and the president of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales, said this in a statement: "At this time, we pray for the repose of the soul of Her Majesty. We do so with confidence because the Christian faith marked every day of her life and activity."
Amen. And that's what we pray for all of us, that at the end, we can be well done, good and faithful servant. And then that's another thing I was thinking about going back to, like when she met with Pope Benedict. You know, it reminds me because right now we're on the 60th anniversary of all the events at the beginning of the Second Vatican Council. And it's one of the talks that I like to give sometimes. It was like October 20th when Pope John the 23rd, with all the bishops, gave a message to humanity. And at that time, like we had the Cuban Missile Crisis going on here. And so Russia was expanding and threatening. China was on the Indian border threatening hostilities with India. China was expanding and communism was trying to expand its influence in the world. There was kind of upheaval with the colonies being freed and free nations being established. And, you know, I like to give my talk. I say here in the state of Texas, Texas played Arkansas, maintained its number one ranking in college football. But then I remind people that on that Saturday, there was no African-American player on either team. So it wasn't all great here. And so, you know, from 1962 to give that positive message for humanity that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And for us to remember that John the 23rd was calling for Christian unity as a primary goal. And specifically, after the Second Vatican Council, we had dialogue with the Anglican Church, with the World Lutheran Federation, and we still have them going on. And so I think that's one of the messages I want to get across, too, for us as Catholic. Obviously, we're proud in our faith and our denomination. Our Catholic is the one holy Catholic apostolic church. But also, there has to be this movement to work towards Christian unity, to acknowledge that other Christians are baptized. We share our baptism. We share our faith and belief with them, and hopefully bringing greater unity among all people. And so I appreciate, as you talk, there's a sense of Catholic leaders acknowledging an Anglican queen and praying for our ultimate unity in heaven, but that we can have unity on earth that we experience as Christians.
Your Excellency, when I think of Queen Elizabeth, I think about this Anglican queen who had a heart for the Catholic people. She met with five different Holy Fathers, with five popes during her reign that spanned eight different pontificates. You mentioned she met Pope Benedict. I believe that was actually back in 2010. But she also met St. John Paul II, Pope John Paul II, three different
yes.
times, including a historic situation where the Holy Father set foot in Britain, something that no pope had ever done before. So that was a big, big deal.
Yeah, no, thank you for researching that, because obviously with Pope John Paul II, it's the sense of, at the new millennium, proclaiming Christ in the world, but then understanding in the world that the movement of communism and secularism and these other forces kind of against the Christian message, and to realize we have to work together on facing the enemy. And I imagine at that time, I mean, you might remember, I remember growing up that Russia was the communist influence across Eastern Europe. And, you know, we're still struggling with it, but back then it was stronger. And to kind of have to work with Christian leaders for the common good and for the good of the world. And so, yeah, I always think about that sometimes. I'd love to be like a fly on the wall to hear the level of those conversations, like what they were talking about and how they were talking about basically, you know, salvation of the world. Like how do you bring about a greater freedom, a greater understanding of religion, a greater dependence upon God and understanding that God is the creator of the world, not human beings.
Amen. We are continuing to talk about Catholic leaders remembering Queen Elizabeth II's Christian faith. We're going to take a short time out after the break. I'd like to tie it in how we as Catholics also have a queen, the Blessed Mother. Mary is our queen, the queen of heaven and earth. We're going to break that open after we take a short break. If you have a comment or question for His Excellency Bishop Cahill, the Bishop of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas, we have open lines. We'll take your calls. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Stay with us as we continue our conversation here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is Morning Air, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
888-914-9149. 888-914-9149 is our number. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. We are talking about Queen Elizabeth II and her Christian faith and what leaders have been saying about it. And we're about to talk about how we as Catholics also have a queen in our Blessed Mother. We're going to continue our conversation with His Excellency Bishop Brendan Cahill here in a moment. But first, I want to just make sure, in case for whatever reason you haven't heard in recent days, I want to tell you about a new, fun, and educational book here at Relevant Radio. Whether you're Catholic curious or a curious Catholic, learn something new about the Catholic faith guided by our very own Patrick Madrid in his brand new book, Inquisition. That would be in quiz, as the quiz is the important part. Expand your understanding from the very beginning tenets of our faith to tidbits that had even our experts learning something new. You can sign up for free for a copy of Inquisition today at relevantradio.com/quiz. No shipping or handling charges. It is absolutely, totally, 100% free. This is a limited time offer, so you can get Patrick Madrid's brand new book, Inquisition. Sign up this morning. Do it this morning. RelevantRadio.com/quiz. Your Excellency, welcome back.
You guys are awesome. That Patrick Madrid, it just sounds like that's wonderful material. It, as you describe it, there are people who are listening right now who are maybe not Catholic. Like you know, we're talking, we're very devout. We're very, very strong in our faith. And for us, it's a gift we want to share. But so many people in the world are struggling right now with just things going on and all of that. Your sensitivity, this, even as you talk about it, this is, teach about the Catholic faith and where our hope comes from. Now, that's fantastic.
Thank you, Excellency. That's what we do. We bring Christ to the world through the media, through this apostolate of Relevant Radio. We try to do it every single day. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. We try to bring that Catholic spiritual perspective. You know, as you said that, I've been actually myself, before we even thought of doing this segment, I had been thinking to myself, you know, there's so much honor, which was obviously well-deserved. She was such a special, such a great woman, Queen Elizabeth II. But when you think about it from a Catholic perspective, we too have a queen that's even greater than Queen Elizabeth. And we're talking about our queen mother, the queen of heaven and earth, our blessed mother, Mary. Excellency, can you talk about the idea of Mary as Queen of Heaven and Earth and the connection between her queenship and Christ the King of the universe?
Yeah, absolutely, because ultimately for us as baptized Christians, there's one ultimate authority that all our obedience is due to, and that's God. That God is the one who created us, and we strive to determine God's will and the direction God has a desire for our lives, and strive to, you know, have our will according to God's plan and creation. And our Catholic devotional life it reminds us of that and calls us to remember, like all human authority is a gift from the Lord, and it's used to be used in the image of Jesus for the service of people. And so whether you're the Queen of England or the President of the United States or a state assemblyman or a school board member or a parent in your home, you have a certain amount of authority over your family, over your community. And the ultimate source of all authority is God, God who created us and gives us our breath and gives us the strength to do everything we do each day. And so our understanding of the Christian understanding of the world begins with that God is a creator, created Adam and Eve, and how we understand creation. And in the fullness of time that we believe, we actually live in the last ages, you know, whether it's 1,000, 1,000,000 years more, the fullness of time is today, that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. So Jesus Christ is our king and our ruler. And so in a sense, from our local devotion, like obviously anyone from Mexico and from the south, from Texas, would know the Cristero revolution, Viva Cristo Rey, that we say, Viva Cristo Rey, Viva la Virgen de Guadalupe, that we say, long live Christ the King, that if you have an unjust ruler, well, ultimately there's one ruler, and the ruler is Jesus Christ. And that's who I'm willing to die for, that I'm going to serve one ruler as Jesus Christ. And with Jesus Christ as our King, his mother is our Queen. And so it's, you know, Viva la Virgen de Guadalupe, long live the Virgin. And so for us as Catholic devotionals, these are things that instruct us. They teach us as we live them. And so I would say devotion to Christ the King, which in November we'll have Christ the King celebrations, Eucharistic processions, however you honor it. In November, when we celebrate Christ the King, is to remind us that, well, obviously we're very proud of that we're fortunate to live in the best country in the history of the earth, but ultimately our allegiance is to God alone. And so to say Christ is our King who we serve, and Mary, his mother, is our queen. And so from the very foundation of the Christian church and the Catholic church, Mary is acknowledged a very special role for intercessory power. And so that's what I want to share with you. Getting back to Second Vatican Council, and you think that Queen Elizabeth, Pope Benedict, Pope John Paul II, all three of those were around in authority at the time of the 60s and the Second Vatican Council. And coming out of the council, there was a Cardinal Sunens who was very active with Legion of Mary. And so you hear me talk about Legion of Mary a lot and Marian devotion and how we develop it. And he wrote a book called Memories of the Second Vatican Council. And his sense of the world right now was that if we focus on the Holy Spirit and on Mary, that those will lead us to greater Christian unity. And so his sense was our Marian devotion doesn't take away from Christian unity. It leads us to greater Christian unity. And so for us as Catholics with our devotion, I say the prayer of the rosary, the different devotions we develop for Mary, our mother. Even here, I listen to you talk about Champion. We have a beautiful shrine, you know, that we have in the United States. But whatever devotion we develop to Mary brings about greater unity among people. And so I'd say for us, our daily prayer, you know, there are little things we say, Legion of Mary, you know, Mary, my queen, I'm all yours. Everything I have is yours. You give your heart to Mary. However you develop that, you'll find in your life, the more you give your heart to Mary, the more she leads you to her son, Jesus Christ, and the more peace I think ultimately we feel in this world, the world in which we live.
Absolutely. Her mission is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago, to point us to her son. Final thought, St. Therese, the little flower, St. Therese of Lisieux said in regards to Mary, we know well that the Blessed Virgin is the Queen of Heaven and Earth, but she is more mother than queen. She is our mother.
Oh, my God, yes, and that's absolutely when you see our devotions. I told you about my pilgrimage to Rome. We also really, for me, the highlight of the pilgrimage was Our Lady of Pompeii. And it's for Italian listeners whose maybe families might have immigrated the 1900s or you know, early 1900s, late 1800s, that the devotion was Our Lady of Pompeii, to entrust your heart to her to protect you on the journey. And she is a mother. And so there's many Italian Americans who supported the building of that shrine, Our Lady of Pompeii. And you'll see where there's a lot of Italian immigrants, churches, Our Lady of Pompeii, and the sense of our mother protecting us. And so the whole story of that shrine was the devotion of the rosary, conversion, and they just have tons of charitable works going on because a sense of our devotion to Mary leads to greater charity for those in need.
Absolutely. So, we're going to have to leave it right there, Your Excellency. We're just all out of time. We could talk all morning about the Blessed Mother. Thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it.
And let me give you a quick blessing. Now, my God, bless you, protect you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless you with your ministry. Thanks.
God bless you, too. His Excellency Bishop Brendan Cahill of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Farm by Charles Paddock. A farmer became tired of his farm, and no wonder, you'll say, for he was born on the place. He'd spent all his days in that quarter section. When a boy, he drove the cows to and from the pasture, picked apples in the orchard, swam in the creek just around the bend, trudged across the meadow and through the woods to the little frame schoolhouse down at the crossroads. When he grew to young manhood, he plowed every acre of tillable land in the spring, helped to put up the hay in the summer, threshed in the fall, and hauled fodder for the stock in the winter. To the same old home, he brought his bride. His three children had been born under the same roof where he was born, and they had now grown up and gone on to homes of their own. He was sick and tired of the surroundings. He wanted a change. And often in his dreams, he pictured a quiet spot where conditions were ideal, where he could spend his old age in comfort and be happy. He told the real estate dealer in town how he felt, so the agent drove out and looked the farm over carefully, and he felt sure he'd have no difficulty in finding a buyer. When the weekly paper came on Thursday, the farmer looked over the ads and found his farm listed. It stated that the Hammond place of 160 acres was for sale. The land was fertile and productive. A crop failure had never been known. 40 acres were covered with the best of timber, a well-furnished water year-round. There was an abundance of pasture land, which flowed a small creek nearby as well, and there was an ideal dwelling house of 8 rooms. The barn was large and modern, machine sheds, granary as well, with spacious bins. The place was well-stocked with horses, cows, sheep, and chickens. It was close to the city, on the rural free delivery. It had a telephone. There were all kinds of fruit trees, both large and small, with an abundance of shade around the house. The old man read the advertisement the second time and then hitched up the team and drove to town to see the real estate agent. "I've read the advertisement," he said, "and as nearly as I can figure out, that's exactly the kind of place I've been wanting. I think I'll keep it myself." From Hebrews 13:5, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'"
Thanks so much, Glenn. Stay with us. Much more to come.